it goes on telling the story. The heavens never cease to tell the story. Look at this. Man can become intimidated. You can be on your job, and I know we're not supposed to be witnessing on the job and things like that. I understand that. But you can be on your job and get a little intimidated by some of the folk around you and not stand for God and not speak for God. Preachers can get discouraged and stop preaching for God. Christians can backslide and stop praising God. But I'm going to tell you this. The heavens go on saying, I love to tell the story will be my thing. And go on.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of a revelation that requires an examination from Psalm chapter 19. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of a revelation that requires an examination.
Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It never stops, but there's always a witness. There's always a testimony that keeps going on for the Lord. God's testimony goes on and on. And I like what it says here. It uses two words, uttereth, and the word uttereth means to pour out like a gushing stream. The word utter, pour out like a gushing stream. It just flows out. Oh, man. You know, even the rain. The other day, I had some running around to do. I heard Joe DiNardo say at 6:15, it was coming. It was coming, and I had to do some running around. And I got out, and I made it back home just in time. And I looked out my window. Man, it was pouring down. It was pouring down. And, you know, some folk complain. And I know that, you know, it's not always good when we have catastrophes. But from a brighter side, to be able to look at it and say, the heavens declare the glory of God. That the rain. And even though we pray, and you know, whenever I hear a storm, a tragic storm or a tornado, you know, the first thing I do, I pray. I said, Lord, I hope nobody gets hurt. And then if I hear about some catastrophe, because I think about, man, the worst thing I think that can happen to a person, other than them dying and going to hell, or maybe some relationship disaster, I think one of the worst things that can happen to people is to lose your place of residence in a catastrophe. Man, my heart goes out to be displaced like that. Man, I so much hate to see that happen to people. And so I pray for people whenever I hear of a natural catastrophe taking place. But then on the other hand, I look at it, and the other day I just enjoyed the beauty of the rain. And to say, God, this is from you. Lord, this is something that is declaring your glory, that the heavens gush out the glory of God. And it shows clearly who God is. The proclamation of the revelation, the continuation of the revelation. Then look at this, the observation of the revelation. Look at verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Wow. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's powerful. You know, in other words, you know what the psalmist is saying? That there's no place on this green earth that's without a witness of God. Nowhere is without a witness of God. He said that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Parlez-vous Français? Habla Espanol? And to throw a little Swahili in there, Watu Wazuri? You see, it's all. There is no place where God is without a testimony. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. Their lines go throughout all the earth. Look at this. Look at this metaphor. And their words. Now, the heavens don't speak. The sun don't talk. The moon don't sing. It's a metaphor. Their words. What is that saying? There's a message in this. Don't miss the message in the metaphor that is telling you that there's a message that God has not left himself without witness anywhere in the world. Somebody said, well, what about the people who never heard of Christ? Well, Romans said they got creation. They got the revelation of God in creation. And that if you will look at that revelation and you will draw close to God through that revelation, God will get you what you need to come to saving grace in his presence. I don't know how he would do it. I really don't. But I know that if you recognize the creation of God and you see the glory of God in creation and you look up there and say, I know that that didn't get there by itself. And I know that there's a God somewhere and I want to draw close to this God. The scripture says that he that draweth close to me, I will in no wise cast him out. So that's why we need to pray for missionaries. We need to pray that God raise up missionaries, that God send out missionaries. And maybe you might be a missionary so that you can take that message where the people can't hear, where they're crying out to know, who is this God? Who is this God that I see and I observe in creation? Who is he? And then somebody comes along and tells him that he's the God, the Father, who has a son named Jesus Christ, who has not left himself without witness through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you're able to tell him what that means. You see, there's not a place where the glory of God is not revealed. Man, I don't care where you go. When I go to New Mexico, Brother Carl, you was on this ride, and there's some members in here, from Albuquerque to Farmington, New Mexico. Nothing but desert. Nothing but desert. But you know what, saints? It is one of the most beautiful rides that you could ever take. Just the enchantment of the desert. The big red rocks. The clay cliffs. Oh, it's indescribable, man. It's beautiful. And then as you ride out of Farmington, New Mexico, and head up to where I went to college at in Durango, Colorado, over a period of about 30 miles, you ride out of the desert and you ride right into the Rocky Mountains. And man, and you can look in the summertime and see the snow-capped Rocky Mountains. The heavens declare the glory of God. In the desert, on the mountains, in the valley, in Alaska, the North Pole, the South Pole, Africa, the Sahara Desert. It don't make any difference. God has not left himself without a witness. It said that there is no language nor speech where their voice is not heard. Amen. Man, the glory of God, day after day after day. The proclamation of the revelation, the continuation of the revelation, the observation of the revelation. Let me hurry here. I wasn't supposed to preach today. I didn't got loose up in here. Now, I wasn't even supposed to preach today. The domination of the revelation. And then look at this, an illustration of the revelation. He could have given many of illustrations. There's many illustrations that he could have pulled from nature, but he pulls one in particular. Look at verse 4, the second part. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now he goes into this metaphor. Look at, and these are called similes right here, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Now, this is a very interesting concept. The sun. Somebody was telling me the other day, I don't know where we were at. Oh, I forget right now. But somebody said, you know, this is, it was somewhere that was flat, and it was flat for miles. So it must not have been close to here. And they said that, you know, it's beautiful just to get up in the morning and see that ball just come up, that red ball just rise. I mean, just like, you know, a quarter, a half, three-fourths, then the whole thing. You can just see the sun. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. It says that he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, that the sun has a tent. He has pitched the tent. He has, when the sun is down, that God pitched the tent for the sun, that while it's down. But then every morning, the sun comes out of his tent like a what? Like a bridegroom. Now, young folks, keep your ears closed on this right here. And I'm going to clean it up, all right? So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be offended. I'll clean it up. But, you know, the bridegroom consummated the marriage on a particular night. And after that consummation, he would come out the next day, and many folk would can't wait to see him. Why? Because they know that he would be grinning like a Chessie cat. He would be smiling. I told you I was going to clean it up now. He'd be smiling from ear to ear. He said, the sun is like that. He said, the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That there's just so much joy and light that it brings. There's so much radiance that it brings. He gives an illustration that this is declaring the glory of God. That every morning when you get up and you see the sun, just see the glory of God. When the sun gets up smiling, bright and radiant, coming like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. Just look at the sun and say, man, look at that sun. That's declared. Man, look at the smile on the sun. It's declaring the glory of God. So some folks look at creation and they fall in love with creation. God says, look at creation and fall in love with me. He said, fall in love with me. Don't start worshiping the sun. Don't start worshiping the moon. Don't start worshiping the planets. Look at all that I have created and fall in love with the creator and not the creation. Fall in love with me. He set the sun. He set the sun like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. And then he gives another metaphor. He says, or another simile, he said, and rejoiceth like a strong man to run a race. The sun, it comes, look at this. What did he say? The heavens tell a story. He said, somebody hear me this. Somebody hear me this one. The heavens tell a story. That there's a story to be told. Yeah, I'm working on a message now. I'm working on a message now. And the title of this message is going to be, Don't Die With a Song in Your Heart. That if there's something that God has given you to express and something that God has given you to give to others, as a gift to others, don't die with the song in your heart. Don't go to the grave with the song in your heart. Express that story that God gave you. And you see, here the heavens tell a story. What is the story that it tells? It says that the sun comes up like a bridegroom that's smiling. And then it changes metaphors and it says what? It says then it begins to run across the sky. Wow. It runs across the sky like a strong man running a race. All day long testifying as a runner. Just picture a runner. Picture Deacon Corbin. As a runner, the sun is like a strong man running across the sky. And what does God say? That's telling the story. That's telling the story. As I look at it, it's over here. A few hours later, I look, it's over here. Now, don't look at it directly. A couple hours later, you look, it's over here. What is that? There's only one thing that you need to get out of that. One thing that you need to get out of that is telling the story. That there's a story to be told, and the story is about the glory of God. Now, I'm sad to say, I got to finish this message. So I'm going to yank out the next couple verses, and that was good. Maybe I might pick it up another time. But let me just get, as Solomon said, to the conclusion of the matter. And that is, now that you have this revelation, okay, the proclamation in verse 1, it proclaimed. The continuation, day and night, it continues. The observation that there's no language where the speech is not heard. The domination, how that it just dominates throughout all the earth. The illustration of the sun. So the psalmist gives us that man, this powerful revelation. And maybe another time we'll get into the revelation that comes from the word. But he gives this powerful revelation in nature. And then he says in verse 11, he says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And then he comes to this conclusion. Who can understand the error of his ways? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Lord, when I think about the creation and I think about all that you have placed in motion, Lord, then I begin to think about myself. Man, Lord, I can't understand my ways. I don't understand why I think the things I do sometimes. Lord, I don't understand why I say the things I say sometimes. Lord, I don't understand why I go to places that I go sometimes. Lord, when I think about how great you are and how magnificent you are and how it's declared in your creation, and I look at myself, Lord, I don't understand why I do stupid things. And then he says, Lord, please, oh God, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord, from the secret faults. Lord, the things that I don't even know about. Lord, cleanse me from those things. Oh, God. Lord, when I think about your majesty, Lord, the sun is right with God, and it praises God. The moon is right with God, and it praises God. The stars are right with God, and they praise God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and they do it out of a pristine innocence. It's just, that's the way God created them. And they just shine. The sun was created, and the sun just shines. The sun don't have to go to Duquesne Light and buy $10 worth of electricity to shine. It don't have to go get a mirror and say, look, star, reflect off of me, and then I'll shine. No, it just shines. And the psalmist said, Lord, man, I'm so messed up. Lord, I'm so messed up, Lord. I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. I do things that I shouldn't do. Lord, I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand. Man, the sun is so innocent. Your creation is so innocent. It just grows. It just expresses itself towards you. And yet, I'm like John Shaft. I'm a complicated man. I'm a complicated man. I got so much garbage tangled up and tied up and twisted up that I don't even understand myself sometimes. The only thing I can say, Lord, cleanse thou me. Cleanse me, Lord, from things that I don't even know about when I think about this revelation. And then look at verse 13. When I think about this revelation, look what the psalmist says. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, those sins that I would just automatically do and not even give it a second thought. Presumptuous things. Let them not have dominion over me. Now, the psalmist is headed somewhere here. And the place that the psalmist is headed, he's saying, Lord, those little everyday, what we would call menial sins, those sins that are insignificant, that don't mean anything. He said, Lord, let them not have dominion over me. And then he says, keep thy servant back. That Lord, every time, every time I get ready to gossip, the idea here is like a horse, you know, when you pull back on the horse, keep back. That here I am, this horse. I got me a good gossip partner. Hey, I'm getting ready to gossip, man. Hold me back, hold me back. Calm down, Silver, calm down. Keep me back, Lord. Keep me back. Lord, the presumptuous sins, Lord, those little everyday sins, hold me back. Hold me back, hold me back, hold me back. Lord, when my eyes go somewhere that they shouldn't, hold me back, Lord. Pull the reins and hold me back. He said, hold me back. You know why he said that? He said, then shall I be upright. Look at this. And shall be innocent from the great transgression. Wow. See, when your life is so corrupted with the little sins, it's easy to fall into the big transgression. That's what David got himself into trouble. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. All right. See, this is where David got himself into trouble. See, he stayed in bed too long. He should have been up He got up late in the day. He really should have been out to war with the rest of his soldiers, but he wasn't there. He had accepted a life of ease and luxury opposed to being out there leading the troops. So what? See, look at these little soft choices that David made. Soft choices, soft choices, soft choices. And then what happened? The great transgression. The great transgression. See, that's why the psalmist said, Lord, when I think of creation, Lord, let me examine my life. And even the little teeny tiny sins, let me have victory over those things, God. God, don't let them have control in my life. Don't let them grab my life. Because you see, if they grab my life and take control, then you know what? I'm not too far from the great transgression. You know what's around the corner? When a bunch of little sins dominate your life, you know what's around the corner? The great transgression. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an affair. Maybe it's cheating. Maybe it's stealing. But there's some great transgression when you let a bunch of little sins pile up unchecked. When you don't say, Lord, hold me back. Hold me back from those sins, Lord. And you just indulge in them. The great transgression is not far. That's a scary thing. That should cause us to want to keep our lives, under the watchful eye of God and make sure that he don't allow these little sins to build up in our life. And then he concludes with this. After he has looked at the revelation of God in nature, the revelation of God in his word, he concludes with this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why did he say that? Well, because the praise of the sun is accepted by God. The praise of the heavens is accepted by God. Why? Because they declare the glory of God. They declare the glory of God. And the psalmist says, Lord, I might not be able to be like them, but one thing I ask, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, let the things I say be pure and acceptable. And here, this is a hard one. This is where I struggle at, the meditations of my heart, because sometimes thoughts come in that they're there before you know it. But you know what he know? You know what he said? You know what he said? Look at this. This is the key, the meditations. See, a thought can come in, but only you can meditate on it. And when that thought comes in, you got to put it out. You can't meditate on it. He said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. God, when I think of the heavens, when I think of the glory that they show forth, Lord, let me, as a finite, puny, little wee, tiny man, let me do my small part to let your glory shine through me. See, the psalmist realized that if he was filled with sin, that the glory couldn't be manifested. And so he comes to God and asks for that purification. He comes to God and asks for that cleansing because he wants the glory of God to shine forth through him. How about you, saints? Is the glory of God shining through you? Is it shining through you? Is it shining through your relationships? Is it shining through what you do? Is it shining through what you say? The glory of God, is it shining through you?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Search for Power Blockages from Psalm chapter 139. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Revelation That Requires an Examination, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Revelation That Requires an Examination. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Revelation That Requires an Examination. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.